guys have a seat. Okay, Noam, you ready? Okay, Zach Carr. Okay, Avi Watson, Avi, you guys have a seat. Charlie?
Sorry, Avi.
Okay. Okay, guys, just two technical announcements before we start. Number one, to remind people that Rav Binney is giving a tour of the Old City at 2 o'clock. It is not only for parents, all the yeshiva students are also invited. Okay, as you might imagine, Rav Binney will do it with great enthusiasm, and it will be very enjoyable, because that's 2 o'clock in the base, those who are into the Old City tour with Rav Binney. Secondly, just to remind people, there's also the lunch with Nefesh for Nefesh's representative today. I think 21 students signed up. So if you signed up, please go. That is in the Rambam room at 1 o'clock, right? Rambam 1 o'clock. Okay, to get information about Netanyah or those who are considering the army. If you didn't sign up and want to go, that's fine. Just wait to make sure there's enough falafels. Okay, so if you didn't sign up, you can go. Just make sure that those that signed up actually get lunch. Okay, great. Okay. Okay. First of all, I want to welcome the parents. It's one of my favorite weeks in yeshiva when parents come to learn. So it's very nice to have you guys. I think it's certainly a good model for our students to see that that's what parents will do in their spare time. They'll come learn Torah in yeshiva. And once we're talking about people learning Torah in their spare time, we're excited that Yossi Katz is back with us today. Okay? See? Now, see, guys, here we have a... It's also nice that somebody would use their free time from being in the army protecting us to come back to yeshiva and learn, so it's also great. He's looking a little thin, though. It's getting us nervous about the army food. You know, my son told me army food's better than yeshiva food, but yes, he's getting a little nervous there. Okay. All right. So let's start with today's shir kali. Okay, so we're going to do a topic that has a lot of different angles to it, because there's a halachic angle and a philosophical angle, and maybe a little bit unusually, those two angles will merge very nicely. Okay, I think some of you have heard from myself and Rav David that one approach to learning kind of divorces the philosophical from the halachic and analytical. Right? You might say we're very underconfident about ability to know the reasons for mitzvot. So maybe in philosophy class we'll speculate about what the reasons for mitzvot are, but in halachic class it won't be part of halachic analysis. Okay, so that is a common approach in the yeshiva world. In fact, there's even an analogy some people like to use. They say that, like a biologist, we ask what questions, but not why questions. Meaning you try to use the data in front of you to figure out what you have, but that you don't ask why is it that way, right? You figure out what are the biological rules of the universe without saying, like, why did God make the world that way? Okay, so you might say, maybe we do the same with halacha. We analyze the data without asking the why questions. I've argued that that split is much too neat, and that's not the way halachic life actually plays out, and that there's a lot of integrating of why and what. I have an article about it that Rav David's fond of. Okay, I guess he's fond of it because it's like an obscure place. Maybe he's the only person who ever read it. But and I'm going to try to give an example of this today, that the what and the why, I think, are integrated in a very profound fashion. Okay, so let's talk about two mitzvot. Okay, the main mitzvah we're going to talk about is Shiluach HaKan. But before we get there, let's talk about another mitzvah. So if you look at the opening psukim, in Sefer Vayikra Perkot Bet, okay, we have a mitzvah there. And the mitzvah tells us, Perkot Bet, Pasuk Kafchet, Vishar oseh, if I have oxen or sheep, otov et beno lo tishchatu b'yom echad. Okay, so this mitzvah is called in halacha otov et beno. What's the prohibition of otov et beno? What are you not supposed to do? What did you say? Don't shecht parent and child on the same day. Okay, now even though it says oto in the masculine, we actually halachically focus more on the mother. Don't shecht the mother and the child on the same day. Okay, hold that mitzvah in abeyance for a second. Let's go to another mitzvah. Okay, now we have a mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. What does it say here? So it says, and here, some interesting language stuff will come up. Ki yikarei kan sipor lefanecha baderech. Now, here's a little bit misleading. Okay, what does the word yikarei mean in this pasuk? Ki yikarei kan sipor lefanecha baderech? Very good. Okay, so Dr. Roberts, what's the...
Russ.
Okay, so okay, Russ is correct. Okay, by the way, if any of you guys are fans of, you want to know about Adam Smith and his advice for life, Russ has a good book on that. Okay, it's right there in the front of the Penn University bookstore. Okay, so what's Yikrei Kan Sipar Lefanecha? So I tell you what's a little misleading here, because most of us would have said there's two roots, right? There's Kuf Resh Aleph and Kuf Resh Hey. If it's Kuf Resh Aleph, what is it? Kara. We'd say it's a call to read. If it's kufresh hey, then it's happenstance. Like in modern Hebrew, if we say mikre, what's a mikre? A happening, an occurrence, right? Or a coincidence. But notice, unfortunately, guys, life is a little more complex sometimes. Because how is it spelled here? Kufresh aleph, even though the meaning is kufresh hey. But see, you have to be open sometimes to those things shifting. Okay, I know I would normally teach my shiur, oh, if it's kufresh aleph, it's to call or read. If it's kufresh hey, it's to happen. But, sorry for doing this, but it happens to be that's not the case over here. Okay? Ki yikarei here is you happen upon a bird. Okay. Now, what's happened to this bird? So it says, the mother is crouching upon the chicks of the eggs. Lo tikacha eim al habanim. Rather, what should you do? We'll get back to the pasuk in a second. Shalech teshlech teim et habanim tikach lach. Right? Send out the mother and then take the kids, then take the chicks. Right? And here the pasuk famously says, l'man yitav lach habrach diyamim. Like very famously, there are a few mitzvot where the Torah promises you longevity. One of them happens to be right here. Okay? Now we're going to come back to this shortly. Maybe it's not an accident. What other mitzvot does the Torah promise longevity? Kibud Aveim. Okay. Do you think they're linked or they're not linked? Yeah, what's the linkage?
Mother.
Ah, very good. Right, isn't this mitzvah about mother-child relationships? So maybe, I just realized this year for the first time, so obvious. I know it took me like 49 years. But you might say that it's not that there's two disparate mitzvot where the Torah promises longevity. We have Kibud Aveim. To the degree that Shuluch HaKan is about mother-child relationship, see, Jordan Stabber's not convinced, maybe it's somehow connected to Kibud Aveim, and therefore, that's why they're the two mitzvot, or two of the three mitzvot, where the Torah promises longevity. Okay, great. Let's go back for a second. What about this pasuk? Lo tikacha eim al habanim. Okay, what does the word al mean in this sense? And want to take a stand? What does it mean? Okay, so you could say it means from on top of the children. Right, the mother is on the children. And don't take the mother away. Don't take the mother may al habanim. Okay, that would be one possibility. However, if you look at some other mefarshim, think it means im habanim. What would that mean? Lo tikacha eim im habanim? Don't take them together. And we mean this so far? So notice, and I'll even give you a biblical proof. You might think that's a bad reading. It's not a bad reading at all. Does anyone somewhere in Sefer Breishit, does anyone know where that phrase is? Eim al habanim. Does that ring a bell to anybody? Double O, your only hope here. Okay. Okay. Oh, where's Yoni Schwartzman? Is he here? Okay. Yeah, what do you say?
Total guess. Kirachem al habanim.
Kirachem of al habanim. Nope. Okay, not a bad guess, though. Yes, Ben Kaplan.
It says,
you're on the wrong track. Good second, but not relevant to us right now. Okay, I'll give you the whole pause. Yeah, double O, what do you say?
This is a shot in the dark. Is it, does that have to do with Rav and Yaakov?
Yes. Well, obviously it's not a shot, but I'm gonna posit that was not a shot in the dark. Right? Like, why would you have guessed Rachel and Yaakov? Wow, what fortune, amazing. Okay, double O just lives a good life. Okay. Anyone know the pasuk? Okay, I'll give you the whole pasuk, guys. Pen yavo vihikani eim al banim. Who's afraid of that? So this is right before Yaakov's encounter with Esav. Right before Yaakov's encounter with Esav, because I'm nervous about this encounter. What might happen? Pen yavo vihikani, lest he come and strike us, strike me, eim al banim. Let me ask you a question. What does eim al banim mean in that pasuk? The mother upon the children? It obviously means with. Right? So that phrase in Tanakh, eim al banim, clearly sometimes means al as in with. I think it's not a stretch at all. So you could read this eim al habanim, the mother from atop of the children. You could read it as lo tikacha eim im habanim. Okay, we got it so far? So what do we have so far? We've got otove b'no. We've got lo tikacha eim habanim, either about mother on the children or mother with the children. And we have this connection to arichut yamin, that you get long life for this mitzvah. Now if I stop right there and ask any of you what this mitzvah is about, let's say we had no Gemara, no Chazals, and I ask you, let's speculate about the reason for a mitzvah. I think most of us in the room would say, this is one of the easiest mitzvahs to explain. This obviously with some kind of compassion for the animal kingdom. We'd have to play out exactly what the compassion is, but that seems to be what's going on, right? We're concerned about the animal kingdom, we're concerned about mother-child things, etc. Okay, however, there's a famous Gemara in Brachot. Let's look at this Gemara in Brachot. Now the Gemara in Brachot, as you're not surprised, Brachot is where we have all the discussion of Shema and Tefillah. So describing what someone might say in a prayer service, what a chazan might say. And in the old days, chazanin used to be more innovative than today. You might not know what he's going to say until he gets up there and says it. Okay, so let's see what he says here. Omer al kansipur yagirach mecha, baltovi zafashinecha, modim modim. If a chazan says any one of these three things, he comes before God and says, God, you have mercy on the birds, which is a reference to Shiloh HaKan. Or, God, remember you when you do all those good things. I love it when you help my son get married, etc. Modim, modim, or you say, you repeat words, mishakinoto. Any of those three things makes us nervous and we silence the chazan. So apparently these three phrases are all problematic. Now the question is why? So some of them are pretty easy. We'll just do that outside for now. Why would you object to modim, modim, repetition of words? What's the objection there? Yeah, maybe you're addressing more than one deity, right? There's, you know, the good God, the bad God, right? Maybe it's about polytheism. Okay, there's a whole question today. What about chazanim repeating words? Not for us right now. Okay, what about al tov yizachar shemecha? What's so negative about saying, God, you do, we're happy about the good stuff? Because maybe you're implying that the bad stuff really, there's no excuse for it. Right, God, you, I can't excuse you for A, B, C, D, you have a laundry list, so don't say al tov yizachar shemecha. Okay, what about the third thing? What's wrong with saying, sounds like a beautiful prayer, God, your mercy extends to the birds. So look at the third to last slide. The Gemara is surprised. The Gemara understands, too, is not so unsure about the third. Ela al-kansipi yagirach mecha mai tama. Why shouldn't the chazan say that? It seems like a very nice tefillah. Pligi batrei amai b'marava. So Tumrim in the West have a debate. Right? Where's the West again? Israel, good? Okay, it's always funny when people think, you know, Jews grew up in North America, and they think that every Jew in the history of humanity always asked, where's Mizrach? Okay, but obviously, if you lived in Bavel and you wanted to figure out Adab Mincha, you did not say, where's Mizrach? You said, where's Marv? Okay. Rav Yossi bar Avin, Rav Yossi bar Zvida, Chad Amar, Mifnei Shematil Kina B'Maseh Breishit. Okay, what's the first approach? You're causing jealousy in the created order. Why are you causing jealousy? Because what might you be implying? God, you love the birds? You're not so crazy about other animals, right? You know, the God has very little sympathy for those beavers and aardvarks, only the birds, right? So don't say that. Don't say, Al Kansipur Yagirach Mech. Okay, great. That's one pshat. Next. Now, this second pshat has tremendous implications for the history of Jewish philosophy. V'charam Efrenisha Ose Midotav Shkal Shpachu Rachamim. You're saying God is engaged in an act of mercy. V'einan Elo Gzeirot. What's God doing? It is just the divine will, right? It is a famous question. Should we give reasons for mitzvot or not? This is the basic source given for those who don't want to give reasons. Right? The claim here is, no, how do you know what the mitzvah is about? You're assuming it's compassion, your compassion for the birds, but don't assume that, right? We just, our approach is simply, it's the divine word, and that's where the conversation ends. I just want to make one point. Philosophically, there are a lot of different possible positions. Okay, I'm just going to outline it for 1 second, although I'm not going to let this become a total philosophy here. Okay, number one, don't give reasons for mitzvot at all. Sorry, I'll even go further. There are no reasons for mitzvot. It's just arbitrary divine will. That's position one and one extreme. Moving a little bit, there are reasons, but we shouldn't speculate about them. That's position two. Position three, there are reasons, and we can speculate about them, but they're not definitive in the slightest, our speculations. Position four, there are reasons, we can speculate about them, and we're even confident enough sometimes to base a ruling on them. Okay, see, there's a whole range here. Okay, now I'm going to argue that sometimes we even get to position four, that we're going to feel strongly enough about the rationale that the why and the what are going to merge. Okay, yeah, Jacob Katz.
Isn't everything God does have mercy?
That's one possible position in the range. Right. Okay? Yeah. I myself am not a fan of the arbitrary divine will position, but it's out there. Yeah?
Josh, you're over here, pointed out that we find the exact case in Megillah. Exact wording.
Yeah, it's the same mission appears twice in Jos.
Even Gemara also.
Yeah, well, the Gemara has the same discussion on the mission, both in Megillah and in Bracha. It's a good question, but it's not the only thing that appears multiple times in Jos. So I give you good homework?
Yeah.
You're going to like this. Okay. Yeah, you do the homework over the weekend? Mm-hmm. Okay. Guys, there are four Masechtot that end with the same piece of Agadah. I don't know what that is. It closes four different Masechtot. The last piece of Brachot is one of the four. Okay, the idea of Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam that we say in davening. Okay, that's the last Gemara in Bracho, Nida, Yavamo, and don't remember. Okay, but apparently some of those things get repeated. What is the fourth word though? Hurry up. Okay, I don't think so actually. Let's check. 1 second. Yep, sorry. Okay. So in any case, so Perek won't get repeated sometimes. But here, Jacob tries to answer a question like, why is that a good closing line and why those four Masechta? That's an interesting question, right? Okay, but it's not the only time that something gets repeated more than once in Talmud. Okay, great. So again, just to somewhere we are right now, we saw the Pesukah and we thought it's obviously about divine mercy, right? But Brachot seems to indicate, no, maybe it's just the arbitrary divine will. That's the way we should relate to this mitzvah. Okay, now let's go to the next. Now let's try to collect some halachic information, some halachic data, and we'll see, based on the halachic data, maybe the reasons are going to impact again on the halachic reason. Okay. Now, this was a little tricky because I have to use some background. Chulin goes to a lot of different mitzvot, six different mitzvot, in fact, and for each of those mitzvot, it asks three questions. Is it just in Israel or also in Chutz Laretz? Is it only with the Beit HaMikdash, also no Beit HaMikdash? Is it for both Chulin and Mukdashin? Both mundane things and holy things. Meaning, if it's about animals, is it just for an animal in your backyard or even an animal that belongs to the Beit HaMikdash or a carbon? Okay? And it asks the same question six times. Okay? I even wrote down what the six are. Otove Beno, I'm not going to explain this, I'm just going to mention them. Kisrei Hadam, Gid Hanasha, Zro V'Lachayim, Reshet Hagez, and Shiluach HaKan. Okay, so let's see how it does with Shiluach HaKan. And then because I'm going to ask, now here, once it does it six times, something interesting might emerge. Sometimes you're going to keep something up just because of a stylistic point. I mean, it's not you really needed it, but we're ready, that's the mode, right? Each of those six times, we'll ask the three questions, even if we didn't need to ask that question. So look at an example, here we go. Shiluach HaKan, this mitzvah about sending away the mother bird. Hey, Uri Bolzim, he got the Odpam. Torzel Yikanes L'Cheder Shalanu. Ta muzman, mazem muzman? Nope. Good guess from the word man, but no. Okay, guys, what's muzman? Invited. But hazmana is an invitation. Okay, no, we'll find you a place. Bishvilleri balls when you shtamin makom. Okay. By the way, Jordan Cohen had a great insight. Jordan Cohen pointed out that Saul, is Saul there? That Saul and Uri Balsam are the opposite of each other. Like Saul, because he can go to yeshiva, he has Hebrew skills, but he doesn't get any yeshivish references. And Uri Balsam gets all the yeshivish references, but doesn't have Hebrew skills. So if you combine the two of them, we'd be like have a major Talmud Chacham. It would be great. Okay. So Jordan Cohen gets credit for that. I did not come up with it. Okay. Here we go. So let's try Shiluach HaKan. Okay, Shiluach HaKan noheg ba'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. Oh, it doesn't matter whether it's Israel or not. B'fnei abayit v'shol b'fnei abayit. It doesn't matter whether it's a Beit HaMikdash or not. B'chulin of a loba mukdashin. But it only applies to mundane animals. If I went out in the street and saw a bird, it would apply. But if those birds were for a carbon, it wouldn't apply. Fine. Rabbi Avraham Maisha Chadamar, kol heikat the tanan ba'aretz v'chutz la'aretz. All these mishnayot that say various mitzvot apply both in Israel and outside of Israel. Pretty remarkable. Shalol litzorach. What's shalol litzorach? Meaning it's obvious. Now, guys, why would it be obvious? Well, think about it. What kind of mitzvot tend to be restricted to the land of Israel? What's the general principle? Agricultural mitzvot. Something like Trumat Maasrot or Shemitah. Do you need any missioner to tell you that, no Kibbutz of Eim applies in Chutz La'aretz? Of course it does. So why should Shiluach HaKan not apply in Chutz La'aretz? So the Gemara says we didn't really need it. Except Levad Mireshit Hagez. Now, without getting into details, what's the point? Only one of the six was really necessary. Somehow in Reshit Hagez, this wool that you shear and give to the Kohen, that's where we needed to point it out. And it wasn't really needed for Shiluach HaKan. Jordan.
I was
going to
say that you could probably make
a... Okay, you want to make a case? Go ahead.
You can make a case.
Let's hear. Why? Okay, you just, in theory, one could.
Yeah.
Okay, Beseder. Okay. Next. Now, what about the second quote? So, if you skip to the end of the third line, Kol Heichad Tanan B'fnei Abayit V'Shelo B'fnei Abayit. What about Beit HaMikdash or not? Shelo Litzorech. That's not also not necessary. I mean, again, what do I say very clearly here, guys? There's no reason to think Shiluach HaKan depends on the land of Israel. And there's also no reason to think that Shiluach HaKan depends on the existence of Beit HaMikdash, which makes sense. Like, what would it be? Like, oh, if there's a mikdash or not, affects whether there's Shiluach HaKan. What ma kesher? There should be no connection. So the Gemara says neither was necessary. I'll file that away. It's going to become relevant at the end of Shir. Finally, the last one. Okay, what about the last one? Kol heichat etanan b'chul u'mikdashin, when it says you need both chulin and mikdashin, which is not true in our case. Okay, so you know what? Actually, it's not relevant to us. It's very interesting, but I'm going to leave it aside. It won't confuse anybody. Okay, so what do we have from source 3 here? From source 2? What did Gemara say about Shiluach HaKan? It applies in Israel and outside of Israel. It applies whether there's a Beit HaMikdash or not. But were either of those necessary?
No.
Not at all. Those were just obvious. Why did we teach them? We're simply keeping the same structure from other Mishnayot in Masechet Chul. Everyone have that down? Okay, next. One more Gemara, guys, then we'll be ready to get to the reasons. Okay, another Gemara in Chul. Ketana Rabbanan, source 3. Ki Yikrei Kan Tzipo V'Nechama Tamul Omar. Now here's a crucial thing, guys. Okay, you didn't get this down, get this down. Okay, there's Talmudic key phrases that always come together. One is Yachol, Talmud Lomar. What is the Gemara doing every time it says Yachol, Talmud Lomar? Okay, who knows this? Okay, yes, yes he gets.
Might think.
Yes, excellent. Yachol always raises a possibility that's not true. Yachol, you might think A, Talmud Lomar B. Okay, as soon as you see Yachol, you're waiting for Talmud Lomar to come. They're like dance partners. Yeah.
Is this the same thing as Bishlam and Ella?
No, not at all. Okay, what is Bishlam and Ella? Everything works out according to possibility one, but not possibility two, right? What's the word bishlam come from? Sorry? Yeah, bishalom. Everything's peaceful. So if I say in one possibility makes sense, and one it doesn't, then I say bishlam ella. Yachol is I raise a possibility only to knock it down. Yachol, Talmud Lomar. Okay, guys, that's why you need the Frank Dictionary. Remember that, guys? Jastrow tells you what every word means, but the Frank Dictionary tells you how the keywords are used in conversation. So if you want to buy the dictionaries, now that your parents are here, you could ask your parents, they're right next to you right now, right? You can get the Jastrow Dictionary for every word and the Frank Dictionary for the keywords. One last thing, I'll give a little advertisement. You can meet Rabbi Frank if you want. You can't meet Rabbi Jastrow. He passed away a long time ago. Okay, but Rabbi Frank is a very nice fellow who lives in Yerushalayim. You can meet him and discuss. I mean, I have to admit, his basic discussion topic is Aramaic grammar, so it's not always so exciting. But if you want, you can go talk to him. Okay? He's not really like the... It's not really the king of the party, but what can you do? Okay. Okay, so let's see what we have here. Okay. Yachol yachzor b'harim ugo k'dei she'imtzakan. Remarkable. What's the Gemara's havamina? What should I do? I'm a pious guy. I want to do this with Shiloh Chakan. I should search the mountains looking for a nest so I could do it. Great. Tamar lomer kiyakare. What's the cue in the pasuk, of course? You happen upon it. You don't like seek it out. If you happen upon it, you do it. Haven't got the Gemara down? Okay, so we got some details from the previous schoolin and new details. There's not a mitzvah you seek out. You would seek out a lulav. You would seek out tefillin. You don't seek out the mother's nest. If you happen upon it, then the mitzvah is there. Okay, we're all good? Okay, great. Now, let's go back to that endeavor of Tamei Mitzvot. So it's true that there is this position out there not to speculate. I would actually argue it's the minority position in Judaism. Most of the Rishonim did spend time speculating about Mitzvot. They didn't necessarily go to that fourth position I said where they'd make halakhic rulings based on it. But they thought it was worthy to speculate. So let's look at some of the, and often we show them on Chumash is a good place to look. So let's look at some of the we show them on Chumash, how to explain this mitzvah. So let's go to the Rashbam in source 4. The Rashbam is Emal Banim. Even his introduction is kind of interesting. Lefi derech eretz ulechuvat haminin. What do they mean, guys? Chuvat haminin? Yeah, very good. I'm trying to respond to the heretics, right? It almost sounds like the heretics complained about this mitzvah. So let's respond to them. Ulechuvat haminin. Okay, now already you can learn a lot, guys, by which analogies people make, which categories some begin. So I think when the Rashbam thinks about Shiloh HaKan, he says, what Shiloh HaKan a relative of? It is a cousin of Otov et Beno and Basar B'Cholov. Now that's probably surprising to some of us. Wait, how is it a cousin to Basar B'Cholov? Why the three of them, 1 year, 1 second, Jordan? Shedom al achzariyut v'rav tanut. Good word, both of them, achzariyut. Cruelty, rav tanut. Yeah, but very good. Oh, we have a new star here. Okay, whose mom is that? Is that Rami, your mom?
Yeah.
That's it, guys. Okay, excellent. Okay, what? Rav tanut is gluttony. Why? Because the word rav, but so you eat with such hunger that you are a glutton. Okay, what is the gluttony from? Okay, lakachav l'shchot l'vashev l'chol eim ubanim yachad. Something very interesting just happened. According to the Rashbam, what's the commonality of all three of these mitzvot? Yeah, Jordan? What am I doing in all three cases? I am, as it were, devouring the family together. Let's go through. Now, one of them is very easy. What's the easiest one? Obviously, that's going on in Oto. But no. Why is that going on in Basar B'Cholov? Yeah, Jordan? Exactly. Somehow the milk is associated with the mom, and you're cooking the baby in the mother's milk. So there are different ways, one second, there are different ways to think what Basar B'Cholov is about. It's interesting that my Bas Kalva is kind of a gluttony. You're such a gluttony, you're kind of wiping out mother and child together. Let's go back to Eim al Banim. Which reading of Lo Tikach Eim al Banim is the Rashbam going to go with? Don't take the mother with the child. So that difference we said before, am I separating them or together, is relevant to what the mitzvah is all about. If the mitzvah is about, like, you're wiping out the family structure, right, mother and child together, you have to read Lo Tikach Eim im Habanim. The problem is taking mom and child together. And that's why the Rashbam thinks it's a cousin of Otov Ibeno and Basabakal. I'll get to you 1 second, Jordan. Just if you're not convinced yet, go to Ibn Ezra. Ibn Ezra's on the exact same team. Okay? It says Ibn Ezra Vahatam. There it is. It's cruel. Liot Eim Albanim Rutasha. We'll come back to that in a second. Vechein Shar Oseh. Okay, guys, make my day. What does he mean by Vechein Shar Oseh? What's that a reference to?
Masses.
What? Anybody? Okay, Ms. Nuess? Oh, sorry, someone said it. Who just said it? Okay, I'll be very good. Okay, remember, guys, how did the Otov Epino Pasuk start? Shor Oseh, Otov Epino Lo Teshubi Yom Echad. So, like Ibn Ezra, he's saying this is a mitzvah akin to Otov Epino. And again, what is it? Did anybody look at the Pasuk in Hoshea? Eimal Banim Utasha? Curious enough to look up Hoshea? Okay, Hoshea is the first of the Triasar. Utasha means like to tear. Like, it's this image of destruction, what's happening. We're tearing away, but here also, Eim al-Banim does not mean mother on the child, but means mother with the child. So just to move now, we have a new approach. It is, what's this mitzvah about? It is about compassion, but the compassion is manifest in don't take mom and child together. That's actually the heart of the mitzvah. Eim im al-Banim. Jordan, I think I got that before. No, everybody? Okay, any questions or comments on this? Okay, now, if we say it's about rachamim, what's an alternative approach? If it's not about togetherness, where's the rachamim being manifest here? Think theoretically. Where's the other kind of compassion here? The other compassion theme. If it's not mom and child together. Exactly, it's about a mother's love and protection for the child. It's about the separation. So notice what just happened. We now have three possibilities. If we go with the Gemara in Brachot, this mitzvah is not compassion related in the slightest. How should we relate to it? Arbitrary divine command. If we go with the compassion theme, we now have a split. Where is the compassion theme manifest? Maybe in this kind of gluttony, I want everything, I'll eat mom and child together, like Otova Bino, like Basar B'Chalav. Or, no, it's not about the gluttony theme of mom and child together, it's about the separation theme. Right? A mom has compassion for a child, so send her away, she doesn't have to witness you taking the mother birds. Okay, so we have another interesting split there. Ori?
If it's about compassion, why don't we make an even bigger mitzvah to not send away the mother birds?
Oh, okay, there's a second. You're on the right track. Okay, Sheila Tova. I hate you on Marafilo. Sheila Mitsuyenet. Am I saying Mitsuyenet?
Mitsuyan is like very nice.
Good. So why did I say Mitsuyan? Excellent. Why did I say Mitsuyenet and not Mitsuyan?
Because it's like feminine.
Oh, that's it. See, Sal, you're in trouble now. He's catching up. Okay. He's getting there. Sal, you have to start learning some yeshivish lore. Okay, here we go. So let's go to. Okay, before we get back to Uri's question, yeah, Ben. I'm sorry?
Can you respond to this if you need the eggs?
We're going to get there. Okay? Okay, let's go to the Hamikdavar. Hamikdavar gets the Netziv, and I'll tell it to you to Berlin, Rashiva Velajin. Very beautiful parish on Chumash. I think you'll see the other theme at work here. Ra'iti b'tam ha-mitzvah, ki hu shilum gmul harachamim. What's shilum gmul? What's gmul? Anyone know? Reward. We're paying reward for mercy. The aim, meaning we esteem the mom. Why do we esteem mom? The aim hayabi chotal lefroach min adam. Okay, you know, we mankind, we can be pretty frightening. We're approaching the nest. If the mom had a self-preservation instinct, what might the mom do?
Fly away.
Nevertheless, ach bikshal lahagena lefrochim. But what did mom decide? I'm a mother. I don't fly away from my chicks. I protect them. Okay, al kain timlei. Therefore, she should get to escape. Vizel misiverachim. It's very interesting. It's it. It says it's almost like we respect maternal compassion on the child. So if you see a mom on the nest protecting the child, that's something that's almost like you can't touch that. You have to at least save the mom. Send the mom away and then, but notice, for my purposes, is this is not about the mother-child together theme. It's not the gluttony theme. It's the respecting of motherhood theme. So again, we have three potential themes, right? Arbitrary divine will, mom-child together, the gluttony theme, or respecting motherhood, the third theme. Yes, sir?
Just a little bit.
Why?
We're going to respect your value of motherhood, and then we'll just, like, let you get away while I eat your...
Okay, so you're on the right track, but it touched on Uri's question a little bit also. Yossi Barrett, the bearded one. Yeah. Yossi has the nicest beard in the yeshiva, guys.
Like, how does it apply in agriculture? Like, if you have a chicken coop, you have to do the same with a... Or is this just for wild things?
You want to know the difference between behemoth and chaya, domestic... Well, it turns out only for ofot. Yeah, you want to know why it's just birds?
No, why is it just wild birds? Like, if you're domestic...
Oh, okay, that's a good question. How do you know that it's not for domesticated birds?
I mean, like, does it say it is? Like, is...
No, you're absolutely right. I'm just curious how you knew that.
Coop, you have to...
No, you're right. The birds you have in your backyard, this does not apply to.
You don't have to...
Okay, but that's an interesting question. It's correct, but I'm going to leave it aside for now. Very good, Jesse. Okay? No, you're good? Okay, great. All right, so now let us go. Now, we mentioned that Rishonim on Chumash tend to give reasons for mitzvot. Another class of is the Rambam's Mon Buchim. Okay, so if you like this endeavor, give you reasons for mitzvot, realize the Rambam tries to do it for every mitzvah in the Torah. Okay, there's a long section in the third part of Mon Buchim where the Rambam offers a reason for every mitzvah. Let's see what the Rambam says here. Now, I think probably all of us will be lurking in the background. Wait, what has every Mefarish done so far? Found some kind of compassion theme. What about that Gemara back in Brachot and Megillah, right? Correct. Right? What about that Gemara? Right? It seems to indicate it's not about Rachamim. How it could be easily shown to ignore the Gemara? We'll get back to that. Says the Rambam, V'chein asur l'shchot otov v'yob yom echad. Okay, and if you guys get what happens here, it's very subtle. Which mitzvah is he starting with? Not Shul Chakan, he's starting with otov et b'no. Why is there such a mitzvah? L'shamer l'archik l'shchot mishneyem Haben le'inei ha'em. What did he just do? What's really the problem with Tovet B'no? Notice what's happened. I went to argue in the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, they make Shul Chakan more like Otovet B'no. What did the Rambam just do? Otovet B'no is more like... Everyone understand what's happened? Right. If you had asked me before this year started, before I started researching, I'd say Otov et B'no is about the gluttony theme, and Shul Chakan is about the compassion theme. Right? But here, the Rashbam and Ezra made Shul Chakan more like Otov et B'no. Don't take them both together. And the Rambam makes Otov et B'no more like Shul Chakan. If you shecht both of them, what might happen? Mom might see you shechting the child. Okay, let's keep going. Nice thing, very interesting. Kitzar b'alechayim b'zeh gadol ma'od. Why is it so bad for mom? Because this is not, okay, Rambam thinks human beings are very, very different than the animal kingdom, but not in this area. Maternal compassion for the baby transcends the human. It's true for animals too. Why? It's not a function of the intellect. Okay, we're brighter, we're more rational, but it's not a function of that. Very interesting. Terminology. Okay, koach hamidamet, we would normally translate as imagination. I'm not sure it's the best translation here. Maybe it's more intuitive, it's more of a feeling. But the point is, animals also know of maternal compassion. Okay, Zach Stauber, we'll have to check his fish too. Okay, fish are not highly intelligent animals. Maybe it doesn't make a difference because the Rambam says it's not a function of intelligence. Okay, great. Okay, guys, I don't know. Zach Stabber's proven this week that Kal Vachomers do not work in pet stores. I'm not explaining why, but ask him after. Okay, why? Apparently, Kal Vachomer is ineffective argument in a pet store. Zach, you try if Xer Shuttle works next time. Okay? Okay. Okay. I probably should explain it because one of his parents are here. Okay, Zach went to the pet store and they had this deal. What was it? If you buy five goldfish?
If you buy five of any same fish, I'm
going to get
the goldfish. Okay. So any five fish, you
get. If you buy five fish, you get the goldfish free. So Zach bought more expensive fish, but it wasn't five of one. That was the point. Like, why didn't the deal apply to you?
Because if you bought five goldfish, you got one for free. I bought three goldfish and two more expensive fish.
Okay, so you know, so it's a Kal Vachomer, right? If you had five goldfish, this is free. So three goldfish and two more expensive, obviously you get a free goldfish. And apparently it did not work. So I now know that Kal Vachomers don't work in the pet shop. Okay? Okay.
We got kicked out.
What?
Kicked us out.
Now it does not work. He's saying it's it. Right, I heard you had to send somebody else afterward. Who'd you send to buy the fish afterward?
What?
Who'd you send afterward to buy the fish?
Nothing.
Okay. All right. Okay, so we got the Mor Nebuchim down. Okay, so according to Mor Nebuchim, he makes Otovet B'no more like Shiluach HaKam. Okay, let's turn the page to the other side for a second. You can see where the Rambam goes with it. Now, the Rambam, he knows his Gemara. So you're going to say, Rambam, how could you make it this compassion theme? How could you make it this compassion theme? It's against the Gemara. So look at the second line here. In the middle of the line. V'lo tiksha alai bar mal kansi b'yogimecha mishach kinoto. Wait, what about that Gemara? It says it's not about compassion. Kiulafi achat mishteh ha-de'ot. Unbelievable. This is classic Rambam. What does the Rambam say? How does he get out of it? Yeah, there's only one opinion in the Gemara. And I, Rambam, I'm on the other side. So what's the big deal? Right? The Gemara had two reasons why you shouldn't say Al-Kantib Yogirach Mecha. One was that mitzvot are not supposed to be explained. They're just the divine will. But there was another explanation. What would the Rambam say? I think Jewish thought should follow. The other explanation, it's perfectly fine to give reasons for mitzvot. By the way, the Gemara itself sometimes gives reasons for mitzvot. So the Rambam says, it's fine. That's the position of Chazal that we don't follow. Okay, so the Rambam has this neat way of addressing, very simple way of addressing the Gemara in Brachot. Okay, the Ramban I'll do outside, because I want to get to two last sources. Okay, a little bit more in depth. According to the Ramban, he also thinks it's about compassion. What's his way of addressing the Brachot? It's a little bit different than the Rambam's way. What was the Ramban's way of addressing it, guys? In source 8? So what's the Gemara claiming? Actually, maybe we should do it inside, because it's relevant to Uri and Yossi's question. Okay, look at the end of the second line of Ramban. Says the Ramban, She'ein rachamin magin b'vali nefesh ha-behemit. It's not true, actually. We are not doing this mitzvah because we have compassion on the animals. Limno atanu milasur b'em tzarcheinu. What does he say? No. Tzarcheinu? Exactly, very good. He wants to claim as follows. It's not that Judaism has no compassion for animals, but whenever there's a clash between human need and compassion for animals, we rank human need ahead of that. Right, that's his claim. So if there was a clash, but if you really wanted birds, that would override compassion. He has even proof. Sh'im kein, if compassion for animals overrid human need, haya oser ha-shechita. We actually should be all be vegetarians, right? Maybe even vegans, right? But he says, no, in halacha, we say human need does override animal need. Okay, so that's why this mitzvah can't be about compassion for animals per se. Aval tamni Allah made otanu midat ha-rachmanut. So what's it for? It's not for the animals per se, it's that we should become more compassionate. You ever see the difference now? For Rambam, it is mercy on the animals per se. This mitzvah is there because animals should not suffer. That's what the Rambam says. For Ramban, this mitzvah is there so human beings should become more compassionate. It's not for the animals per se. And then he even says, very interesting, okay, you know, I don't know if you, any of you are interested in going to Shechita. What does he claim? There's something dangerous about going to Shechita. What's dangerous about going to Shechita? Yeah, you can become cruel. If you get used to, you know, killing things, that can become part of who you are. Therefore, we need to introduce mitzvot to promote that you don't lapse into cruelty even when you do partake of the animal kingdom. Yeah, Jacob gets.
But isn't it likely that somebody who needs to have these eggs is not very likely to, like, be cruel, like, not like, like, to have it upon him, like, a nest? Like, maybe someone will go out and look for these eggs now? Think, like, oh, it's okay, you know, like, I take precedence over this person, so then I kind of use my purpose in happening upon a nest, and you're like, you're looking for what you need.
Well, no, but okay, the question is what you do with that Gemara in Chulin. Hold on 2 minutes. We'll come back to that Gemara. You haven't got the Ramban down yet, though? I think Uri does touch on your question, right? Yes, we have a compassion theme, but maybe there's a limit to the compassion theme. Okay, so now let's get to the final approach. Again, we have three approaches on the board thus far. It's arbitrary divine will, it's the mother-daughter together, the gluttony theme, or the compassion theme of respecting maternal compassion for the child. Okay, so Rav Yair Bachrach was a very interesting fellow, the Chavot Yair. Okay, and in fact, he's one of my list of interesting people who named Svarim either after their mother or their grandmother. Okay, there are a number of guys who can do this. It's a nice thing to do. He's a nice Jewish boy, right? Name him a sefer after your mom or grandma. Okay, so one of them is Chavo Yair. His grandmother was named Chava. So if you think of it like in English, it's almost like the apostrophe S. What's Chavo Yair? Like I am Chava's Yair, the little Yair, the grandson of someone named Chava. Okay, that's one of the reasons why it's called Chavo Yair, and it happens to also be a place name in Tanakh. Okay, but that his grandmother, you look at the introduction, his grandmother was named Chava. So he has a great question. He says, now someone told me that there's someone in Brooklyn who does this. Okay, someone in Brooklyn says, I've got a nest. You could do the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKan. I mean, not because you're interested in the chicks. Just come, send the mother bird away, and like, line up. Okay, we'll send mom away 20 times a day. Okay, and then we'll get the mitzvah of, so now it sounds a little funny, but that's what Rabbi Bachar's question. Maybe that's what we're supposed to do. Like, we try to fulfill mitzvot. There's a mitzvah out there most of us have never fulfilled. Let's, you know, sell tickets for Shiluach HaKan. Right? Or what's the obvious other possibility? It's only a mitzvah if you actually want to take the chicks, the eggs. Okay, great. So that's what we have here. She'ela nish'alti in source 9. Im ki yukei kan tipo lefnei ish pesadeh mechuyav akam lezkok l'shlechteim. Now, he's not saying, clarify one thing about the Chavos Yair. He can say that I have to search it out in the mountains. Jacob Katz, why can't you say that? Why can't you say you actually have a mitzvah to go to the mountains to do this? Because the Gemara said explicitly, That's not the case. But what about the following case? I am on a teal, and I notice a mother. But I have no interest whatsoever in the young. Right? There you have his question. I didn't seek it out, but now that I have it, do I have to mention the young or not? So he says in the third line, okay, let's go to the end. He thinks the Gemara in Chulin proves that you do have a mitzvah, even if you're not interested in the young. Okay, middle of the fourth line, actually. But now things get very interesting. So I was learning this with somebody, and somebody said something very clever. It happens to not be true, but it's clever. If the mitzvah is even if you're not interested in the young, based on the possibilities we've had so far, which one would that work with? Based on the possibilities we've had so far. Which rationale?
Zero.
Yeah, the arbitrary divine will. If it's compassion, it makes a little sense. Where's the compassion? You're not even interested in the young, and you're sending the mom away. So from a compassion, it makes no sense. But if you go back to the Gemara and Brachot's theme, it's just the divine will. We don't know why. So maybe you do it anyway. So someone said to me, which was a very good point, it happens to not 100% be true. Let's keep reading the Chavos Yair. V'hachi mistaver, this is logical, l'tam shekata b'zohar. The Zohar takes a stand in this mitzvah. What's the Zohar's reason? Keshu k'deisha of eim ha'ofot titzta'er. We actually want the mother bird to be in pain. V'tifrak makom l'gava keshet banen. Because what do we want? We're going to create this scenario where a mom bird is looking for her children. Now, why in the world do we want that? Why do we want mother bird looking for her children? V'yedekach yidgalgalu rachmei ha'makom baruchu abanav shebegalut. Okay, this is all a symbol. What's the symbolism? God is, as it were, the mother bird. We are the chicks. We are lost. And we want to like inspire God to, God, realize we're suffering the exile. Mom should find the children, right? The Shekhinah should find Am Yisrael. So if the Zohar is right, notice what just happened. We now have a fourth category. It's not that the Rechavos Yair is explaining it based on arbitrary divine will. So there's a fourth rationale, fourth potential explanation. And then what might, if he's right, you might not like the explanation, but if he's right, so what should the halacha be? It doesn't matter whether I went to chicks or not. It was never about that. Okay, have I got that? So again, now we have, sure got a little more complicated, because now we have four possibilities. Right? Again, arbitrary divine will, the gluttony theme, maternal compassion theme, or inspiring this God response to a mother searching for children. Yeah, Jonah Woman, B'toch Adav, what do you got?
Are there any sources that say that this is a Jewish stance on environmentalism and preservation of species, and that we shoo away the mother in order to allow her to
look, have more children? The whole discussion of Jews and environmentalism is like a very recent phenomenon, because environmentalism is a pretty recent phenomenon. So there are articles and books that are written about it, and these mitzvot are definitely part of the conversation, without getting into it. If you're really curious about it, you could find out more. In fact, one might say, I'm sorry to do this to you, Jonah, but that whole topic, Jews and environmentalism, is currently a growing field. Yeah. Okay.
Do you classify the mitzvah more in like...
Oh, yes, he can. It's a poor guy. Yeah.
More in a gavra or chefza, but like chefza i.e. bird.
Gavra or chefza? What would that mean in this context?
Is it like what really... what really creates the chiyu? Like only when you encounter or when you...
Does the Gemara in Chulin move things in that in the first direction? It says explicitly, like, there's no mitzvah to go search it out.
You think that's consistent throughout?
What?
You think that's consistent throughout?
I think so. I mean, if you have another theme, I'm open to hearing it. Yeah.
Why don't you think of it? This is like a nice metaphor to give, because like, the mom's not going to find the kids if you're dead. Why do you want, like, mom to...
No, but don't forget, according to the Chavis Yair, the mitzvah applies even if you're not interested in the chicks. But you might not actually eat them. Or use them.
Oh, you just take them.
Just the mitzvah, send away the mother bird, and then take them and create this whole symbolism. Yeah. I'm sorry? Oh, that's a good question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
With those who were inclined to the rapid part of it, do they make any split between the next being fertile or not
fertile? I don't think so. Don't forget, the pasuk has Ephrochim and Beit Sin, right? There's two categories. The truth is, I have to check out. I'm not sure if it. I understand your question. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Why does this specifically have to apply solely to birds?
Well, isn't that a question according to everybody? I mean, that's not a question on the Chavos Yair any more than the compassion theme, right? Okay, so I'm not saying it's a bad question, but I think everybody would be, except for the arbitrary divine will theme, right? But all three themes could ask that question.
Is there something specifically like metaphorical or spiritual?
Ah, that's an interesting question. That's a good question for Avdol. Is Avdol there? Okay.
Maybe in terms of Noah with the...
No, that's a good question. Maybe like somehow, from the Zohar's perspective, somehow in birds, the mother-child thing is more profound. That's interesting.
If you find a deer, you have to shoot with
it. And anyone have a suggestion? That's interesting. I have to think about that. Yeah.
Well, the metaphor is, right, we're on the wings of an angel.
Right.
It's a common
right.
metaphor.
Oh, that's interesting. And we don't have God as other animals? Yeah, that's interesting. Although in some ways, it's a very good point. In some ways, just moves the question one step back. Like, why does biblical imagery choose the mother bird, child, specifically in the world of birds? All right, guys, we'll all think about it over the weekend, okay? Why birds are more subject to mother-child imagery than the rest of the animal kingdom. Okay, Charlie, you work on it? While you're in the middle of a burger, you'll think about it? Okay, great. It'll be quite appropriate, actually. Okay. Just eat one burger, not two. Okay. So let's go to the last source. Okay, let's go to the Chassam Sofer. Okay, Chassam Sofer is by Moshe Sofer, a very important Rav from Hungary. Okay, so he has a tshuva. Now, I have to admit, guys, the first time I heard this Chassam Sofer, it bothered me a lot. It seemed to me like a crazy idea. So good news, the Chassam Sofer is also against it. Says the Chassam Sofer, you shouldn't do this. If you're not interested in the chicks, don't do it in the slightest. And what's his argument? What's the Chassam Sofer's argument, guys? Well, he assumes what the mitzvah about. Which theme? It's the compassion theme. Well, if it's the compassion theme, how is it compassionate? It's anti-compassionate. See, it has nothing to it. Okay, so those who like, you can all pass on like the Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer, the mitzvah only applies if you actually want to take the yom. You want to take the eggs. Then it applies. Short of that, there's no mitzvah whatsoever. But notice what I said in the beginning of Shir. Is it not true in this case that the why and the what are very integrated? Right, the halakhic rulings are very much based on your conception of the rationale. If you go with the Zohar's reading, you end up with a Chavis Yar. Do it whether or not you want the young. If you go with the compassion theme, you end up with the Chatam Sofer. Don't do it unless you want the young. So I think here is a good example where the reasons do very much impact on the halachic discussion. Okay, now let's go to one last thing. He's a very, very clever proof. Okay, when I taught this very briefly to Rav David students, okay, one of them, I remember pointed out, one of them had this very exact point. Okay, if you hold, we'll do it outside maybe. If you hold like the compassion theme, okay, sorry, it goes back to the Zohar. If you hold like the Zohar, okay, what's it about? God, the mother, looking for the children. Why is God looking for the children? Because they're in Galut. Wait, isn't it possible to then conclude Shiluach HaKan will not apply when we're in Israel? Right? Someone said, who said it? Ben Kaplan, remember who said it? Someone said it during Shir, right? It was you, Ben. Okay, somebody said it. Okay, so maybe it doesn't, right? Because it's the Galut theme. Right? Isn't that a good question? Okay, is that true? That doesn't apply in Israel?
No.
What did the Mishnah say? Both in Aretz and Chutzaretz. Now, let's say you could get out of it, but I'm going to show you that getting out of it is not as easy as you think. How could one get out of it? Why does it apply in Israel and Chutzaretz? Because maybe even if Jews are living in Israel, we're still in Galut in some sense. It's still an unredeemed world. It's still a broken world. Right, so maybe at that point you could explain why the mitzvah applies, whether even according to the Zohar, both in Eretz and Chutzaretz. But it's even more problematic, guys. Now, Jordan Stafford, it's all going to make sense now. What did it say in Source 2? Why does the Mishnah say, Ba'aretz of Chutzaretz? What did it say explicitly in the Gemara? When the Mishnah in Chulin says, Ba'aretz of Chutzaretz? Shelo Litzorach. It was not needed. I mean, it was pashut. And that's a much bigger problem now. Because even if you could answer for the Zohar why the mitzvah applies in Israel, it shouldn't have been obvious that it applies in Israel. Right? That doesn't make any sense. What do you mean it's obvious? There would have been a logical distinction to make. When we're in real Golot, the mitzvah applies. When we're not in real Golot, the mitzvah doesn't apply. So it's even worse. It's not just that Halacha applies in both, it's that the Gemara thought it was obvious that it applies in both. That shouldn't have been obvious. And therefore, it's a difficulty for the Zohar. So look what he does at the end, guys. You're going to love this. Actually, unless you're a Kabbalist, then you're not going to love this. Okay, so look at the last two lines. Last two lines of the Chassam Sofer, guys. This is a classic Chassam Sofer. El al karkach, what must I say? Shas dilan, our Gemara, lo sphere le kizohar. Okay, the Talmud Bavli is not on the same team as the Zohar. Clearly, the Bavli was not thinking along the Zohar's lines. Jonah Woman's upset. Don't worry, Jonah, you can go back to the spot. You can leave your beard on. It's all okay. V'yadua heka depli, v'yadua. What is well known? Hecha de pligi hanigla imanistar. What does that mean? Pligi hanigla imanistar? When there's a machloket between nigla, the revealed stuff, like Talmud Bavli, with nistar, with esoteric things like the Zohar, Says the Chassidim, what do we do when this happens? Ein lanu esek bin nistarot. We're not so involved in the esoteric. And he quotes a pasuk here, v'haniglot lanu vanenu. What do we stick with? The real wisdom. So given that clash, the Talmud Bavli wins, and therefore we should pasuk and not the Bavli. Okay, before I do a summary, any comments or questions we've done here? Okay, any comments or questions? Yeah, Jordan. Oh, it's difficult. Okay, but that's a very good point. It's a good point, Jordan, but can we make a comment? Maybe esoteric and difficult are not the same category. Gemara is difficult. Zohar is esoteric. Okay. Okay, fair enough. Well, just realize one thing, Jordan. This is a general question. The mitzvah changed the Messianic era beyond Shiloh Chakan.
So let's say when the Pogrof, let's say when
Yad started Bethel. Oh, he does read that question.
But
guys, who does he focus on? Oh, it's interesting which generation he focuses on. When he's trying to say when things are really good, maybe the mitzvah shouldn't apply, which generation does he pick? Did anyone get to the sole source? Look five lines to the bottom. Which generation does he pick? Yeah, it's interesting. By the way, because I'm aware you're going to like this, Jordan. Both Rav Hutner and Rav Kook do the same thing. Like, if you want to portray one generation when everything came together for Am Yisrael, what's that generation? David and Shlomo. Can you tell me why? Why is that the one generation or two generations everything came together? Well, what happens before David? There's no Beit HaMikdash, right? What happens after Shlomo? What happened after Shlomo? The split into two kingdoms. So if you want, like, one time when everything came together, that's what he does. David or Shlomo's time. He raises the question there. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So obviously it still happened because...
Why is it obvious?
What is the Hillel? What is Shir Shirim? We're in those times, like, talking about how we're still disciples of Hashem.
No, he's not suggesting... He's not suggesting that when we have Beit HaMikdash, we're not servants of God anymore. He's just suggesting that the child and Gullah theme would fall away.
I'm saying the theme of the Zohar is the same...
The child suffering and we want to...
The mother is always looking for the child.
Yeah.
Mother.
Right.
So Pharaoh wants to say that it must disagree with the Gemara that says it applies in Israel and in Galut. But obviously, he even says himself that the time period when Am Yisrael was the most in Galut with David Melech and Shlomo, the writings from that time period represent.
Okay, I hear what you're saying. Look, I'll say this. Maybe you can answer for the Zohar, but I just want to make a point that Sandra's clever point is that you raise the level of difficulty one more step, meaning it's not only that. The halach applies Eretz Yisrael Chutz Laretz, that the Gemara even says it's pashut that it does. So I'm not saying you can't answer for the Zohar, but that makes it more difficult.
I'm saying it seems pretty pashut that it
okay.
does.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, let's do a quick summary, guys. But I think it's a good example where, again, someone could say I make a neat split. There's my halacha conversation, there's my philosophy conversation, and the two never meet. I think what we did today shows that sometimes the two really do meet. Again, what do we have? Gemara and Brachah Megillah would seem to say arbitrary divine will. Right? What was the Rashbam Ibn Ezra theme? It's about this gluttony theme. We had the Rambam and Nitziv. It's about maternal compassion. Remember the split? For the Rashbam and Ibn Ezra, Shiloh HaKan actually belongs together with its cousin. It belongs together with Oto Ve'Pino. For the Rambam, Oto Ve'Pino is actually more like Shiloh HaKan. What is the nafka mean? How do I read the pasuk? Do I say Lo Tikachem Alavanim means don't separate the two? Or does Lo Tikachem Alavanim mean Al here would mean in? Right, as in Pen Yabovikani Emal Banim. So that's enough communicating those two themes. Finally, we had the Zohar's intriguing fourth theme. It's about the symbolism of mother searching for a child. The Chassam Sofer brings us back to compassion. And here again, we have a clear enough communion. Why would someone think it's a mitzvah to do it even if you're not interested in the children? It seems crazy. Well, if you go with the Zohar's theme, that makes sense. That's why the Chavot Yair Pasuk is that way. Why does the Chassam Sofer ultimately reject that? Because he says it's really the compassion theme. It would be the antithesis of compassion to send away the mother bird if you're not interested in the children. As you know, guys, I like to be pretty open-minded. People could identify who they want to identify with. You know, Jordan, Avery, you're going to go with the Zohar in this one. But I like compassion. I'm a fan of Chassam Sofer. So he asked me for a psak. Should you travel to Brooklyn right now to do Shiloh HaKan? I would say if you're not interested in the eggs, it's okay. You could just stay here and learn. All right, everybody have a great Shabbos here. And again, guys, 2 o'clock is Rabbi Stewart meeting here. 1 o'clock is the Nefesh B'Nefesh meeting.